If you would, open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Where Pastor Gary left off last week, was Proverbs chapter 4. He went all the way to verse 23. We're going to just finish out this Proverbs 4, and we'll go into Proverbs 5 next week. I meant to write something on the board, and I forgot. I apologize. But what I have there is, be careful of stumbling blocks inside and outside. And so one of the title that Pastor Gary gave chapter 4 was Keep Your Heart from Wandering. And what's unique is a lot of times the titles will tie into different words along the way. But what's unique is if you look in verse 24, it says, and put devious speech far from you. That word devious can literally tie in to wandering about, meandering. And so you can just see, and if you look with me in verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You got to watch over this old heart. And before we go, though, I don't want to forget, I thought we would have a time of prayer right now just for our countrymen. From everything that I'm seeing, the devastation in the Carolinas, some Tennessee, Carolinas, haven't seen a lot of Georgia, but I have seen a lot of devastation in the Carolinas. And from what I'm hearing, and I don't know if any of this is true, but from what I'm hearing, National Guard's not there yet, FEMA's not there yet. You know, different things are taking place. Whole houses are being washed away, whole families. I'm not sure if any of you have family up there. Michelle and I were wondering how far away maybe you, Lana, were, how close you were to that area.
I don't want to hang from me.
So not too far.
It hit my area hard, but my house is fine.
Okay.
My neighborhood's fine.
Your neighborhood's okay. I know Chimney Rock is where you grew up.
Yeah. I did want to mention
yeah.
that Jason and Jessica over there with supplies.
Okay.
And, you know, their church does this fairly regular.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. But they work with a network of churches.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that maybe Sunday we could take up a collection.
Okay.
To help with that venture. They're taking a lot of water right now, people. But they're going to be helping them with opening roads and things such as this. And
yeah.
They actually have a large group of people that go with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, you know, to be thinking about this Sunday.
Yeah.
And we'll take up a collection. And also Samaritan's Purse, if people just want to give to that directly, that's fine too.
Which is Franklin Graham.
Yeah.
Right.
There is this ministry with Jessica and Jason, they're connected specifically with other churches in that area.
Good.
So they're coming to help supply them.
Mm-hmm. And from what I'm hearing, there's nothing. Like, the whole towns are just devastated.
Well, I-26 is completely shut down.
Yeah. Like, I heard they're just washed away.
That's the major.
That's right. That takes you up in there.
That's the one that takes you into Hendersonville, into, you know, Asheville. Of course, Asheville is devastated.
Devastated.
And Chimney Rock, I mean, pretty much the town is wiped out.
Yeah. What about Hendersonville? Have you heard anything up there yet?
There was a lot of damage in Hendersonville, but it looks like it was something that they could recoup probably within months.
Okay.
But it looked like the greater damage was, you know, I mean, Asheville's what, 15 minutes away.
Whew.
15 minutes away. And, of course, Chimney Rock is just, you know, 15 minutes away the other way. So, all real close.
I've often thought these are our countrymen, you know. I mean, these are our countrymen. And so we realize that our hearts go out to them, and we understand God ordains calamity. We understand this. But I do believe it's a time that I'm praying that people will begin to turn to the Lord.
Asheville has just become a godless place. And, you know, our prayer is certainly that the Lord is shaking up. And this is what an opportunity for churches to go in and minister to these people that have really forsaken God, the whole Wiccan thing, the whole gay thing.
Yeah.
It's literally taken over Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
And wonderful it is that the Lord, you know, has opened this door. So.
Right. Defeat evil by doing good. And blessed are the feet who bring the good news. You know, our desire is to share the gospel. We understand that God opens the doors. The famine that came into Jerusalem opened the door for the Gentile church to begin to minister to them. We understand that we don't know who's a believer, who's not a believer. You know, I think a part of my prayer has been for the unbeliever to turn to the Lord. And then my other prayer is to strengthen our brothers and sisters that are there because for endurance, you know, and to strengthen them for the work of the gospel and that they would see the hand of God in their lives and even the unbelievers around them would see the hand of God on them, the favor of God on them, you know. So, but do you want to add anything else to that? I did want to mention it, though, and be praying at this time. And we're praying for our nation on a whole, you know. It says pray for your leaders, you know. So, you know, we're praying for our leaders, you know. We're hoping to see that God would begin to raise up someone that would elevate his name. We desire to see these things. Yes, ma'am.
Peter and I, just at the last minute, we signed up to go to Perry, Florida. We're leaving. We're going to be gone Sunday afternoon after church, and we'll return late Tuesday. Under Samaritan's first.
Okay. And Perry, is that where the panhandle?
Yeah, that's where the storm came
from. Came straight in?
Yes.
Okay. I'm guessing this thing was moving so fast that it got all the way up there that they weren't even expecting that.
Well, the deluge comes from it hitting the mountains.
Okay, and coming down.
Yeah, I mean, the water's exponential once it hits the mountains because it goes into the valleys and it just flash floods.
What's that mountain they talk about, Jerusalem? Huh? That would pour down at different times. You know the mountain David talked about coming down? I'll look it up. So be remembering different ones at this time. These are opportunities for souls to be saved, for brothers and sisters to be strengthened for the work of the gospel. I can only imagine what they're going through, you know, everything being gone. And so even as we meet here tonight, I didn't want to take it lightly. You know, here we are. We have everything that we have, and we have other brothers and sisters that don't. And so I wanted to take that time to remember them, if we could. And so remember Sunday, you know, is our desire to take up a collection to send it up there with Jason and Jessica to try to help them minister. I remember the last time that big hurricane hit Texas. There was a part of me that wanted to come to you and say, we're packing up and we're heading out. And but I know we have a responsibility here, too. And we have to trust the Lord in those things as well. And the one thing Michelle and I kept coming back to, the best thing I can do right now is to make sure I'm getting in the Word. The best thing I can do right now is to make sure as a Christian I'm getting right with the Lord. And we know that God is faithful to even work in what we're limited, but He is not. And so, but we do want to be praying for our brothers and sisters at this time. We want to be praying that this will be an opportunity for the gospel to go out, as Paul would say in the Philippian jail. So, Pastor Greg, you want to pray at this time?
Father, we just come before you, Lord, in these days where we just see you moving. Lord, we think of the people up in the Carolinas and Tennessee and anybody that's been touched by this storm. And, Lord, we know that you're sovereign in all that happens. And, Lord, we don't know what you're doing. There are people struggling everywhere, and there's sin everywhere.
Mm.
Lord, we don't ever want to try to assign any particular thing to any one particular area because, Lord, there's some that you're wanting them to see the ungodly way in which they're living. There are others who are professing your name, and you're wanting them to just truly come to you and examine their lives. Am I living the way that you're calling me to live? Lord, disasters cause us to turn to you, the unbeliever to turn to you, to look for an answer. Lord, there's so many things that only you could do through such devastation. But Lord, you can do it, and we're thankful for that. We are so thankful that we know that you're a loving God. Lord, we're thankful that you've given us the faith that we can even say that. Lord, the things that we can watch happen around us, yet boldly proclaim and know in our hearts that you are a good God. That kind of confidence could only come from you. And Lord, we thank you for doing that for us. Lord, we ask for your guidance. Different ones are called different ways to assist in these areas. And Lord, we just ask for your guidance, your wisdom, your clarity on what you're asking us to do. Lord, we recognize that sometimes we can help best by staying right here at home, and sometimes we need to go. Lord, you will call each one of us according to the purpose that you've established since before time began. So, Lord, may we weep with those who weep. May we rejoice with those who rejoice. We think of Miss Lana and her house is not touched. We think of homes that probably aren't 15 minutes away that are destroyed. And Lord, it's just the mysterious way that you work. But Lord, we do know that you're a loving God. We know that you're doing good, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the comfort and confidence that comes in knowing you. May those who don't know you seek you out earnestly during this time. May those who profess to know you examine themselves. And Lord, may those who are positive that they know you rejoice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. When are you guys leaving again?
Sunday afternoon.
Okay. We'll be praying for you guys too at this time. Okay. There was a video of a woman in Ohio, and she's looking out her backyard, and they're seeing these trees blow everywhere. And she goes, "I live in Ohio. Why am I even seeing a hurricane in Ohio?" And it was just a crazy sight, you know. So we realize the Lord's doing some shaking up, and there's a work going on. It's an opportunity for man to get right with his Creator. It's an opportunity for man to receive salvation from his Lord. So an opportunity for the church to do his work as well. So be remembering them this week. Pastor Gary, did you want to add anything else? Okay. We'll look at Proverbs 4, looking over verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. I had to ask myself, you know, why did God have to even put this verse in here like this? And, you know, I just really felt on my heart as God says, because that's not something we all naturally do. You know, as human beings, we have a tendency of just going. It's kind of what we do. We make songs about it. You know, if I was to kind of think of some of you guys and maybe your age, you know, you have songs like On the Road Again. Free Bird, Tuesday's Gone. You know, they make whole songs about man's nature. I'm just going to go wherever the wind takes me. We don't have a natural tendency to do this. And so a lot like how Psalms would have that word Selah in there. Kind of stop for a second. Contemplate this. Let's think about this. I think as I began to study and prepare, one of the things the Lord began to put on my heart was, okay, son, just stop for a second. And I'd encourage you, you know, as you leave here tonight, as you prepare to leave, as you go home, as you wake up tomorrow morning, as you're even going throughout your day, I encourage you to kind of stop for a minute. Just take into account where you are. Take into account what you're doing. Take into account the character of God. Think upon God. Go, okay, God, what am I doing again? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Who are you? What pleases you? And to take these things into account. Begin to guard. And one of the reasons why I think he's letting him know this in verse 23, if you go with me up to verse 14, 15, and 16, it says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked." Now, we have a father writing to a son and saying, okay, son, I'm going to be going the way of our fathers at some point. And you're going to be taking the reins. Son, I want you to know, I want to try to prepare you the best I can, what's pleasing to God and all the different things that are out there in this life, your own natural tendencies, the influences on the outside. the different things that are pleasing to the Lord. Son, I want you to learn these things, and I want you to be a wise young man. I want you to lead in a wise way. I want you to carry yourself in a wise way that's pleasing to the Lord, as his father's writing to his son. We come into verse 14. It says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men." So the wicked are those that are hostile to God. It is that which is hostile to God. And you could all, anything that's hostile to God is going to be under the umbrella of wickedness. If it's hostile to God and the things of God. You get this word, the way of evil men. They're hurtful. They're those that cause pain. And the kind of hurt they begin to cause is that which would cause someone to doubt who God is. They're hurtful. They're hurtful men in the way they carry themselves. Verse 15 says, avoid it. Stay away from it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. Verse 16 is going to be one of our keys. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. So they can't rest. They're constantly consumed with wanting to do that which is not right and pleasing to the Lord. And they come in and it says, and they are robbed of sleep. Now here's the key point. Unless they make someone stumble. Okay. Why do I need to be watching over my heart in the life that God is giving me? Well, because there's influences out there. There's influences out there, son. So there's going to be influences on the outside that can come in. And one of the things he's going to convey is there's going to be influences on the inside, too, that you're going to have to watch, that you're going to have to be careful of. And so we come into that 14, 15, 16. That word stumble means to cause you to waver, to totter, to become weak in the legs, especially the ankles part where the joints are, you know. But to cause you to waver in your desire to be in a right standing with God. You're to waver, and we could even say to waver in your faith, to cause you to doubt. One of the things that you can see sometimes with the wicked is they make you think they're living this great life. So it's an allurement. That's one of the ways Satan tried to allure Christ. That you come and bow down to me, look at all these riches of the world, I'll give them to you. So there's an allurement part. Another part of the wicked part is it can cause us to become angry, frustrated, anger coming in. God's not doing nothing. Those are things that can begin to happen. Another one that I think that can begin to come in is hopelessness. What's the point? What's the use? Nothing's going to change. And you see these things taking place. He says, son, you got to guard that heart. You got to guard it. Because the springs of life are coming out of that. It's the source. And even when you think about the heart, it is the very center of anything, according to that Jewish tradition. But even in a physical realm, the heart's pumping blood to every part of your body. And it's like God going, okay, you see the heart? You see how that thing works and it's pumping blood to all that body? You see how get the source of the blood is coming, going out, coming back in, going out, coming back in? And it's beginning to give life. He goes, think of that in an emotional state too. Because the heart will tie in to the inner man and the feelings and the emotions that you and I experience. And when those emotions can get stirred up and taken out of balance with trusting in the Lord, then things can become very out of whack very fast. And so the heart would be the inner man, the feelings, the emotions. It can tie into the will and the intellect. And it will really tie into the center of anything. What's the center of your focus? Because what the center of your focus is going to affect your life. It's going to affect your relationship with God. It's also going to take away your peace. It's going to take away your sense of fellowship with God, your joy, your peace. All that's going to get disrupted. If you turn me to Ephesians 1, there's something that in the epistles that Ephesians 1, Paul really wanted us to know as he began to write these different epistles that God wanted us to know. That God really cares about this. And I think a lot of times we so easily forget this or it's possible that we stop believing it, we stop kind of even thinking about it. But if you look at me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to know His favor rests upon you, His love and His care. He wants you to experience that. And then that word peace. God really wants me to have peace. God cares about that. God cares about you and I having peace. And if those emotions start to get out of whack too much, the first thing that's going to go is your peace. It's going to be replaced with depression, anger, hopelessness. That would be depression. A lack of purpose. You know, all these things are going to come in. When they come in, if you turn me to the next one over, Philippians chapter 1. And we're not going to look at all of them. I just want you to see, you know, this is a repetitive thing within the Scriptures. Philippians chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God desires for you to know His favor, His love, His care rests on you, and He wants you to have peace. And so we'll turn back to Proverbs 4 now. And so you realize that it's something that God cares about, and God wants you to know as a Christian, He cares about this. And this is the reason why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon that cross, to shed His blood for our sin, so that in this life we can have peace. We can have joy, no matter what's happening. That your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We may lose everything, and I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but I just know God has good in store. That's an anchor for my soul. And that's a message that's powerful. And if I don't watch over this heart with all diligence, that can so easily be disrupted. And so God puts in here, you got to watch over this heart with all diligence. So the word watch here means to guard and to protect. It can have the word maintain, which I thought was unique. It says something about protecting a vineyard. So you're protecting something very valuable. That great blessing can come out of not only for you, but those, your family and those around you. There's a blessing here. And you're going to want to guard and protect this, because the influences that can come in, the wicked and the evil men, understand, it's hard for me to think that there's even people out here that will not rest until they look for someone to cause to stumble. It's hard for me to think of. But then as I thought more, the world's desire, the evil one's desire, is to get you off of Christ, stop trusting Him, and the ways of the world to suck you in and pull you away. We see that in the wilderness when Satan comes and he tries to lure Christ away. Christ does not. It's not alluring to Him. But you realize, as I thought back, even before I come to know Christ, I thought back when I was younger, there were certain things in my life you didn't have to tell me. I didn't have to be allured into doing wrong. Certain things. There were certain things that I did even at a young age that I realized, okay, that was wrong. No one told me or lured me into that. But I remember hitting around middle school, and I started hanging out with these couple of guys. And it wasn't long before they were saying, come on, come do this. Come do this with us. Come do this with us. And I remember going, I didn't want to do it. But they were asking and they were calling. And it wasn't long before I was going with them. And it wasn't long that I was going down that path. And I got sucked right into that path. And then at that point, no one had to ask me to do it. I wanted to do it. But the stumbling came in. And I'm just using it from a physical, worldly standpoint. And I'll say this. Do I believe there's some that pray and look for people to cause to stumble? I believe so. I also believe that there's some sinners out there in the world, or unbelievers, that they're mastered by their sin. And they're just getting you to come along with them because they think that's the right way to go. But my point is there's influence out there that can cause us to begin to waver, influences that can begin to come in and can get us off of that right standing with God, that desire just to be right with Him, and if you go back into the first part of the chapter 4, teachable and humble, close to God, moldable, and it can come in and move us off of that, the influences that come in the world. And those are things that we have to be on guard against. So watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. That is to say, that heart sanctified unto the Lord is coming out and it's giving life. It's propelling you. It's the source. Where your affections are, where the center of your focus is, it's going to begin to supply something, supply life. Or you step out of that right relationship with God and we start entering into darkness. We start entering into depression. We start entering into anger. We start entering into the lack of peace that comes into our lives. Why is this so important? If you'll turn me to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul would tell us you got to be careful. 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." So he's letting us know that word deceived there means to cause to stray, to lead aside from the right way. That which is wrongful and hurtful in nature, it can corrupt the good morals. That word good is actually the word useful. That is to say, when I'm focused on Christ, he goes, man, you're useful to the kingdom of God. You're useful to the kingdom of God. You start hanging around the wrong people, you start listening to the wrong influences, it's not long before they get you into the realm of fear. They get you into the realm of anger. And that old heart gets off center. And when that happens, you're in trouble. But 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." So there's the influence from the outside that can easily come in into our lives. And a lot of times, especially in the world we live in today, it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific person. It can be something that man has created. You think of all the commercials now on TV. You need this. You need this. And you need this. I didn't even know I needed it until I saw the commercial. And now they got me thinking I need it. You know, you hear the commercial all the time. You need to buy gold. I'm going, yeah, okay, you buy gold and the bottom falls out. They're coming to take whatever gold you got. I need Jesus. And that's about what I need. So that's the outside influence. Turn me to Jeremiah 17. Here comes that influence from the inside. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Okay, so that heart of mine, it is desperately sick. Unless it's focused on the right things, unless I've been regenerated by the Spirit of Christ, we know we're in the Old Testament at this point in Proverbs, and he's saying your affections and the center of your affections and your focus, if it's not on desiring to please and walk with the Lord, you're going to be in trouble, son, because the influence and the stumbling is out there. Not only is it on the outside that's trying to come in, but you also have a tendency on the inside to get knocked off course too, your own sinful nature, that you're going to have to guard on both fronts, son. You're going to have to be very careful in these things. If you turn me to Proverbs 28, and it'll be verse 26. It says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely would be delivered." So you can't trust in your heart. What's that old saying? Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. I remember being young and you'd hear us young kids, "Oh, just follow your heart." Yeah, that's going to get you in trouble. But you need to watch over your heart. You need to guard where your affections are, where your emotions are. Don't allow those emotions to get the best of you. Those emotions need to be bridled and controlled by the Word of God, by the character of God. Because those emotions can begin to get in the driver's seat and they'll mess everything up. So we'll go back. Also, turn me to Matthew 15 real quick. I'll give you another text there. And then we'll get back to four. If you look with me in Matthew 15, verses 18, 19, and 20, and Christ is talking about the heart of man. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart, what we can say is these things can come. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. They were picking on the disciples for eating with unwashed hands. And he's saying, that's not what's going to defile you. What's going to defile you is the very things that can come out of you. This is why it's so important. And we'll turn back to Proverbs 4 at this point. This is why it's so important as he's writing to his son. He's saying, son, you got to watch over your heart with all diligence. You're going to have to be mindful and careful because there's going to be influences out there. And we realize that in verses 14, 15, and 16. And it's not going to rest. That influence that desires to come in and move you off of my desire to just be in right standing with the Lord. And that has to be my desire and a Christian's desire. I just want to be in right standing with God. That's my desire. My desire is to follow him, to trust him, to be a wise son of God, a wise son. And a wise son steps back periodically and he goes, okay, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Let me take some inventory right now. And like I said, I would encourage you periodically just to stop. So even as I was studying through the passage, I go, okay, I just begin to stop for a minute. Go, okay, Lord, I need to remember who you are. And I need to remember, what am I doing? How am I doing it? What's my desire? What's the goal? My main goal is to be in right standing with you, Lord. And that's the most important thing. My main goal is to represent your son in the right way. And as I begin to go through the study, just how ashamed I begin to become, how ashamed I became for the many times that I didn't watch over this old heart. That I just let my life go, desiring to be a Christian, brothers and sisters. Don't get me wrong. We desire to want to please the Lord, but how many times have we just started out on a day, and before you know it, something came in. It knocked you off course. And it may have happened to you before. I know it's happened to me. Before you know it, it's consumed your center focus. And before you know it, peace is gone. Joy is gone. Hope is gone. These different things that have come in. And it so easily knocks us off course. And I believe a part of what he's letting us know is okay, as Pastor Gary titled chapter 4, you got to keep your heart from wandering. What's one of the ways a wise son will do this? I need to keep watch over these affections, Lord. I need to keep watch over these emotions. And I need to keep watch over what's the center of my focus. Because if I don't, then it'll begin to give me the wrong source. And it'll begin to lead me astray. Rather than me staying focused on the right things and there being refreshment coming out of that heart as it meditates on the things of God. Does that make sense? So we pick up in verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. So one of the first places he's going to come in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. As I begin to think about this, I said, as a Christian, you know, one of the first things you do when you receive Christ and the Holy Spirit, you're like, I don't want to lie anymore. Now, before Christ, maybe none of you never lied, and that's good, and you guys were good, great people. You never lied. But once you come to know Christ, you're like, I don't even want to lie anymore. And so he says, you need to put away from you a deceitful mouth. What I thought was unique about this word deceitful is it is the word perversity, but it is also the word to distort. So I began to dig on this word to distort, and one of the things that began to come about was to twist something, to alter the account or picture of something. We begin to distort things. And one of the things that this really hit home with me about was, you know how sometimes you can see something you don't like, something that you know is wrong in God's eyes, and you get a little fired up about it, and then someone asks you the question about it. And then you begin to tell the story about what happened, or you begin to share what someone said. And how many times have we allowed that story to maybe grow or twist to feed some of that emotion that I had. Do you guys follow what I'm saying? I'll tell the story in such a way that it'll alter the picture and the account of what really happened. I used to see this a lot with my kids. They would get into a little spat or something, and every now and then I could overhear it. And I would hear one child say something. Let's just say he's taking the clothes down there, and he lays the clothes on the bed. He goes, "Hey, there's the clothes. Make sure you please put them up. I don't want you to get in trouble." And they're already, you know, siblings. So he says something smart to him. "You don't need to worry about me." "Well, I got to tell Dad." And then they keep going back and forth. And then the one kid goes, "Well, he said, put up your clothes, you're going to get in trouble, and you don't even know what you're doing." And I look at him, I go, "He didn't say that. He simply asked you to put up the clothes. Is it possible that you're upset and that anger is getting the better of you and you're starting to distort the story just a little bit?" And that can happen when these emotions get involved. We can begin to twist and distort, and we can begin to paint a picture and alter the account of something that really didn't happen. He says, "You got to put that away from you. You can't do that. You can't allow that to happen. You've been called to reign." And I'm putting it away. As a Christian, you've been called to be a light to the world. And as a light to the world and as a minister to one another's brothers and sisters, it really kind of hit home. It's like the fishing story, right? The fish was this big. No, he was this big. No, he was this big. God, I just need to let my yes be yes and my no be no. I just need to say, you know, this is what happened, and I really don't know. But I know God is good, and I know God will take care of it. But I can't allow these emotions to get in the driver's seat and to begin to take over something and begin to distort and try to fit it into an account or twist the account of what really happened. So I got to put away from me a deceitful mouth. That word mouth is unique because it'll tie into as a means of blowing, which I'm thinking influence. So I can't so tell this story in such a way that it'll make me look good. I just gotta simply let my yes be yes, my no be no, and just leave it at that. Leave it in God's hands and let it work out. At this point he says, "Put devious speech far from you." What's unique about this word devious, it's also the word perverse, but they're two different words. It'll be the word deviation. It'll explain it this way, to turn aside, to go wrong. I like the way it's explained this way. It says, they have left the right way. They've left the right way. So put devious speech far from you. That word put, I like it because it says to become far, to become distant, to be removed, go far away. So if someone is now going into the realm of turning aside, going wrong, begin to talk wrongly about God. They begin to misrepresent who God is. If they begin to attack the body, if they begin to tear down another brother and sisters. We were talking about this at teacher's training. You know, out of this mouth comes blessing and cursing. It should never be this way. It's wrong. So if I have someone that's beginning to go down this road of devious, it is that which is going to be destructive. It's devious. There's an ulterior motive here. It's going to be destructive. At this point, it tells me in verse 24, put devious speech far from you. And so I think at times, I think one of the things I think I'm learning is Pastor Gary asked me to take over on Wednesdays. I can be very dogmatic. And I grew up telling stories and shooting the breeze with your buddies. And we always had to tell different stories and, you know, try to make everyone laugh and things like that. But I think the one thing that is kind of hitting closer to home for me is I just need to make it clear. And so when he says, put away devious speech far from you, I think a lot of times I would probably say something like, well, I mean, I can't be around you doing that. I realized, listen, it's love. Listen, brother, I'm sorry, or sister, or neighbor. That's just not something I can be a part of. I just can't. I understand you might be upset about something. I understand you got something on your mind. I understand that this might be going on. But as that speech is starting to become devious and destructive and hurtful, and it's going away from what's pleasing to God, because I love you, I can't. I can't be a part of it. I think there's times where I get I use a lot of dogma sometimes, and I need to be careful with that. Because the real life scenario is I got to keep myself in the love of God. That's the real life scenario. And my goal is not to condemn. My goal is to rescue. That's my goal. I want to rescue. And in a way, sometimes we send the message to that individual, you know, that's just not something I can be a part of. Now, if you want to talk more about it and you want to try to work through this in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and trying to work this out, then I'm all for it. But if you're going to go down this road to deceive, devious and hurtful, that which is not pleasing to the Lord, then, brother, I just can't be around it. I'm sorry. And I think in times past, I poured it on real thick. But I think what I'm starting to learn is our goal is to honor the Lord, Jude stay in the love of God, desire to rescue out of that flame and fire. I'm not in the seat of judge, condemning. But I can't condone what's going on either. But because I love you, I'm going to bring a separation at this time. There's got to be some distance here. Because I don't want the influence either. So there can be times, too, when you start to give ear to devious speech, it'll begin to influence you. Remember that 1 Corinthians 15:33? Bad company will corrupt good morals. It'll get you thinking the wrong way. And that I got to watch over my heart with all diligence. I got to make sure that influence isn't coming in. Brother, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear any more of this. I just don't. If there's something going on, you need to go get that worked out. I can't watch you become destructive anymore. I'm sorry. And that's because I do love you. And so we'll move on to our next verse there in verse 25. Let your eyes look directly ahead. I like this particular word, let. It means to show regard, pay attention, consider directly ahead. He's talking about to right in front of you. You know, the tendency is our eyes like to wander. You think about going down the road. There's times when you want to stop or maybe there's some new building going on and you're trying to look over there. Have you ever had a situation where you were driving and you're trying to look off the road just a little bit and then you look back and you're like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's that easily we can get off track. And so let your eyes look directly ahead. And so you're looking directly ahead. And then we come into that next word, let. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. That word is yasar. It's a different than that first word, let. I like this one too. It says to be right, to be straight, to be level, to be upright. It's talking about, it's tying into character. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. And we're talking about this word gaze. It ties into eyelash or eyelids. If you look at me in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 4, it says, give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. I'm staying focused. I'm not looking to the right and looking to the left. And it'll begin to tie in a little bit more. And that word eyelids, what's unique is that root word has a meaning to fly away. Or to fly about. He says, I want you to stay focused on this, son. So remember how I said periodically throughout the day, just stop and go, okay, Lord. I would strongly encourage you first thing in the morning, you know, when you wake up, you know, I'm not going to give you a law. You got to, you know, this is a relationship you have with the Lord. It's a relationship. What I would strongly encourage you to do is you got to spend some time with the Lord however you can, whether that's prayer, whether that's the Word. Sometimes people will get into the Word at their lunch break. It's understandable. Some people got to get up at 3 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. I can understand that just from a practical standpoint. and they'll spend their lunch break spending some time with the Lord. I would strongly encourage you, when you wake up, spend some time talking to the Lord. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time aligning yourself with God and going, okay, God, I believe you love me. I believe you want good for me today. I believe I want to please you today. Please put that in my heart. Don't allow these emotions to get out of whack. Don't allow my focus to be shifted off of just wanting to be in right standing with you, wanting to please you today. I would encourage you to try to take that. I would encourage you to try to take that time every morning. I would try to encourage you through, you know, just going through the study periodically and just stopping, taking a mental account. Okay, Lord, what am I doing? Who are you? What are we doing? And being diligent to watch over that heart, because that heart can so easily get off course. So the eyelids, and I kind of had a little bit of a funny right here. I think it was last year, the year before, the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, Mike Tomlin. Sorry, I'm a football guy sometimes. He was going through a rough patch during the season. And they said, Coach Tomlin, what are you going to do? He goes, we're going to tape our eyelids open. And I just thought it was funny because it reminded me of the verse, let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. And kind of that reminder, be focused, watch what's going on, pay attention. You know, we go into verse 26, watch the path of your feet. That word watch, I really appreciate it. It means to make level and smooth. It also has a meaning to weigh mentally. Okay, weigh mentally the path of your feet where you're going. So first we have with our mouth, you know, our mouth and our ears. You know, okay, watch what you're saying. Watch what you're listening to. Pay attention to what you're looking at and where those eyes are going to take you. Because 1 John is very clear, the lust of the eyes. These eyes will get you in trouble. Pay attention, son. Watch what's going on. Watch the path of your feet. So where I'm going and how I'm going about going there. Watch the path of your feet. The word path is going to tie into a course of action that you're going to take, how it's going to affect you. It also ties into this word entrapment, which I thought was unique too, because the word entrapment kind of ties into the way you would protect yourself. And so, but it's a path that you would take. It would be with your feet, and there's a track there. But I thought it was unique how it kind of ties into that word circular or walking in circles. Have you ever heard, what's wrong? You're walking in circles. You're pacing. And so, but he says, okay, watch the path of your feet. That is to say, make level, make smooth, weigh mentally how you're going about what you're doing. Watch what you're doing. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. This word ways ties into Derek, which would be the word Derek. If you ever name your kid Derek, you would have all your ways. Is the course of life or mode of action. It also ties into this word road or journey, moral action and character. So make level, make smooth. Kind of watch where you're going. Watch the path that you're taking, and your ways will be established. What I appreciate about the word established there is in a moral sense, they'll be directed aright. So I want you to watch how you're going about doing what you're doing. I want your eyes to be focused. I want you to make sure you're guarding your heart. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Watch what you're listening to. Watch ahead so that you're looking for the things that you might stumble over. And I believe a part of that word, and I didn't write down, but I remember looking at it straight in front of you. I believe a part of what it was trying to say is that you're looking straight in front of you because the stumbling blocks that can be there. Because there are those that will not rest and they cause you to stumble. You realize that there is influence out there. And sometimes that influence can desire to cause me to stumble and waver in my faith. But it can also cause me to stumble and waver and allow these emotions to begin to get out of sorts. And before long, it's no longer the faith that's leading me and the things of pleasing to God that's leading me. It's my emotions leading me. And we want to keep all of that. We want to be mindful of the influence on the outside. And I want to be mindful of the influence on the inside that I even have. If we go into verse 27, I believe this is where it all kind of tie in. And I thought it was really neat. Verse 27, it says, do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And I thought this was really cool because you look up and you simply realize, don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, what I thought was really neat, and I'm going to say, the word do not turn means to stretch out. Okay, so don't stretch out, bend away, incline. It has a meaning of like moral deflection. Don't stretch out. Don't turn away. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. So don't stretch out. It makes me think in a way, don't let your guard down. And now this is neat. Are you ready? The word right ties into the right hand or the right side. That which is stronger and that which is skillful. Don't stretch out and start leaning on your own strength to do this. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty neat. Son, realize that the watching over the heart is, I just want to be in right standing with you, Lord. That's it. There's going to be stumbling blocks that are going to, they're going to be out there. Influence is going to come. But you look straight ahead because you can see it coming. And you know your tendencies. And you know how you are. And there's going to have to be a level of discipline here that God's calling us as a wise son, as a leader, as a king. There's going to have to be a level of discipline here, son, that you're going to have to apply to your life. But I know that if you'll be diligent to do this, you'll begin to train those senses. And before long, it'll be something that you automatically do. But I believe a part of what he's trying to say is do not turn to the right or to the left. The right would be stronger and more skillful. So if I could put it this way, you're not going to rest on your own strength and your own skill. I can't do that. I've got to trust God, and I've just got to stay in the realm of, I just want to be pleasing to him. It's not going to be my strength, not by strength, not by might, but his spirit alone, Zechariah 4:6. It can't be my wisdom. So as you're desiring to watch over that heart and not keep your heart from wandering, you can't so regiment yourself, and you can't so safeguard yourself, and you can't so put all these things around you that you're going to be able to do it. The law doesn't work, but love does. And I believe chapter 5 is going to tie us in to the love aspect. It's talking about a relationship. Now we come into this word left. It's through the idea of wrapping up or concealing. Don't turn to the right, your own strength and wisdom. And don't turn to the left and try to do things covertly and sneakily and slyly. Or don't turn to the right and try to cover, and then to the left trying to cover up that you're doing it in your own strength and your own wisdom. Be honest with yourself, son. Be honest with yourself. It's not going to be your strength. It's not going to be your wisdom. You need to be real about this. It's going to have to be focusing just on the Lord and keeping your heart right with him, and he'll do the work for you. But if your desire is just to please him, it's not going to be your strength. It's not going to be your wisdom. Be real about it. You can't cover it up. You can't go that route. It's got to come back to, I just desire to be close to him. I just desire to please him. And as you do that, that'll be a safeguard in your life. That'll be the safeguard that'll keep you out of the influence of the world. You'll recognize it. You'll see it coming. And it'll keep your heart in a place where the emotions don't begin to take over, but faith in the Word of God are supreme in that heart. And then it says, it ends, turn your foot from evil. What is the evil? Me trying to think that in my power and in my strength, that I'm somehow going to be able to keep myself on the right path. It's not going to happen. It's going to have to come back to faith alone and trusting in the Lord, desiring to please him and desiring to honor him. But you're not going to be able to go down that route of battling with evil. Turn your foot from evil. It's not going to be your strength. It's not going to be your wisdom. It's just going to be you trusting in the Lord, serving Him, desiring to see Him work. And as you do that, that'll be a protecting force in your life. So I can't tell you how many times that through reading that last verse right there, that the Lord really began to convict my own heart. And I've just got to trust Him. It's not going to be my wisdom. It's not going to be my strength. It's not going to be your wisdom. It's not going to be your strength. That's going to keep you. But what will be a protecting force in your life to keep you from going down that wrong path and those emotions getting the better of you is coming right back to that place of, okay, Lord, I trust you. I just want to be in right standing with you, Lord. And a wise son realizes it's not going to be your strength. It's not going to be your wisdom. It's going to be just focusing on the Lord. And as I do that, He keeps me on the right path. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come before you that many times is just in human wisdom and human strength. We think we have it all figured out. And Lord, so easily this heart can get knocked off. Different things can come in. I can waver. I can totter. I can take my eyes off of you. And Lord, almost without even knowing it, I can walk in my own strength. So Lord, I'm sorry for the many times that that's come. And I'm so thankful that you're so gracious and kind and that you begin to reveal it to me. And you say, son, how's that working? Is your peace there? Is your joy there? How are you feeling? And Lord, I'm so thankful that you calls me just to get real with you. And you make me realize, okay, Dad, I've left that place of trusting you. I've left that place of just desiring to please you and to be in right standing with you and to represent you in the right way. So Lord, please forgive me for the many times I've done this. And we're so thankful for your grace. And as we move forward, realizing it's not by my strength, it's not by my might, it's by your Spirit alone, Lord. Our desire is to please you. You're going to use us as you will. You're going to defeat evil. We're just going to keep doing good, and we're just going to keep serving you because, Lord, that's where we find the most peace. And you're going to do a great work. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.